From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 9. Today, he begins a message entitled, The Faithfulness of God, taking as his text verses 6 through 13. Although the Jews of Paul's day believed that their relationship to Abraham guaranteed their entrance into heaven, Paul states that God's promise was to the children of promise. God was faithful to the promise he made to Abraham, that in his seed, that is Christ, all nations of the earth would be blessed. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our text for this morning comes from Exodus chapter 16 and verse 21. They gathered manna every morning. Labor to maintain a sense of thine entire dependence upon the Lord's goodwill and pleasure for the continuance of thy richest enjoyments. Never try to live on the old manna, nor seek to find help in Egypt. All must come from Jesus, or thou art undone forever. Old anointings will not suffice to impart unction to thy spirit. Thine head must have fresh oil poured upon it from the golden horn of the sanctuary, or it will cease from its glory. Today thou mayest be upon the summit of the Mount of God, but he who has put thee there must keep thee there, or thou wilt sink far more speedily than thou dreamest. Thy mountain only stands firm when he settles it in its place. If he hide his face, thou wilt soon be troubled. If the Savior should see fit, there is not a window through which thou seest the light of heaven which he could not darken in an instant. Joshua bade the sun stand still, but Jesus can shroud it in total darkness. He can withdraw the joy of thine heart, the light of thine eyes, and the strength of thy life. In his hand thy comforts lie, and at his will they can depart from thee. This hourly dependence our Lord is determined that we shall feel and recognize, for he only permits us to pray for our daily bread, and only promises that as our days our strength shall be. Is it not best for us that it should be so, that we may often repair to his throne and be constantly reminded of his love? Oh, how rich the grace which supplies us so continually, and doth not refrain itself because of our ingratitude! The golden shower never ceases, the cloud of blessing tarries evermore above our habitation. O Lord Jesus, we would bow at thy feet, conscious of our utter inability to do anything without thee. And in every favor which we are privileged to receive, we would adore thy blessed name and acknowledge thine unexhausted love.
Jesus, keep me near.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts continues to be most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. Remember that any literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
We're returning this evening to the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9. We're going to read the first 13 verses of the chapter. Romans chapter 9, the first 13 verses of the chapter. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise: at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And in that solemn note of verse 13, we'll end the reading of the word of God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Tonight our study will be particularly from verse 6 to verse 13 of this ninth chapter of Romans. Anytime you're studying Scripture, context is important, and never more so than when you come to Romans 9, 10, and 11. Now, if we were reading a book of studies in Romans, I could simply get you to flip back a few pages and refresh your memory with the fairly lengthy connection that I drew between this and the prior part of the epistle last Lord's Day evening. The trouble is, this isn't a book. Some of you would think it was a fairly lengthy book if it were. Somebody has asked me, are you ever going to turn out a book of studies in Romans? And I have laughed. I have not yet seen the book that is big enough. And I don't know anybody willing to produce a whole library of books. But anyway, this is not a book. And I can't really repeat at any length the various things that we noted last Lord's Day concerning the vital connection between Romans 9, 10, and 11 and all that goes before. All I can do is as briefly as possible to summarize, because here context is vitally important. You must remember, never forget, that this section of Romans is not an afterthought. It's not a parenthesis. It's not a postscript. It's not an appendix. It's not a passage stuck in out of joint to deal with, quote, the problem of Israel. This is a passage that is an integral part of the whole argument of this epistle. It's designed to answer certain objections to Paul's doctrine of justification by faith alone for both Jews and Gentiles apart from the works of the law. And in particular, it sets out to answer objections based upon the Jewish claim, a true claim, to be the chosen people of God. On that basic fact that God chose the Jews, there were objectors to Paul's doctrine, and they were objecting that if the Jews are God's chosen people, then Paul's doctrine is altogether unscriptural and altogether wrong, because according to his doctrine, most Jews were lost because they were Christ rejectors. The people who made this objection really thought that they had utterly destroyed Paul's position, and they were able to hold it up to utter ridicule. According to them, they would say, in Paul's view of things, God's election is absolutely meaningless. He chose the Jews. But according to Paul, most of the Jews are not saved at all because they reject Christ. They would further argue that therefore Paul's doctrine would teach that God's actions are arbitrary, they are fickle, and ultimately they are utterly unjust. And then they would come with the big sting in the tail, that God's word, therefore, has no comfort to give anybody. Even Christians, even people who have received the Lord Jesus, there's no comfort in the Bible for those people. And the argument here would be that Paul based Christian security ultimately upon the eternal electing purpose of God. But the argument would go, if that election failed in the case of the Jews, and that election didn't guarantee Jewish salvation, what comfort is there for a Christian in saying, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Where is the security? Where is the assurance? Where is the comfort? And so this was the challenge to Paul's doctrine. You must understand. Now I want you to grasp this. I was trying to emphasize something of the importance of this last Sabbath evening. I want you to grasp this clearly. The objection was not primarily to Paul's doctrine of election. The objection was to the gospel. The objection was to justification by free grace for Jews and Gentiles by faith alone, without any reference to Jewish ritual or Jewish law. The objection was to that. And Paul had to meet the challenge. And hence he wrote Romans 9, 10 and 11 to do so. Obviously, in doing this, he had to deal with such matters as eternal election. But again, I'm emphasizing, he did not deal with it as a philosophical subject. He did not deal with it even as a freestanding theological subject. Paul's main concern always was the gospel. And in this particular section of Romans, his concern is to defend God and his gospel. And in doing so, as I say, he does have to deal with such matters as God's eternal purpose. And as we go through this, you'll see some things that Paul doesn't do and some things that he does do. He does not sit in judgment on God. He does not take man's view of justice or goodness or righteousness or anything, hold that up, and then try to hold God to a man-made standard. He does not sit in judgment upon God. On the other hand, he does not deny the absolute sovereignty of God over every part of his creation and every person in his creation. He does not question or deny the absolute sovereignty of God. And remember how I define sovereignty in a very simple way. It is God's authority and ability to act as a king according to his own will, for no other reason than that he wills so to act. And that's our guarantee that what he does will always be worthy of himself. That's the sovereignty of God. But while he doesn't deny the absolute sovereignty, Paul does not do what many people do. He does not separate it from the gospel. He does not separate God's sovereignty from his central purpose of mercy in the gospel. And it's very easy when you're reading Romans chapter 9 And you'll have cause to understand this more fully, I trust, as we go through this chapter. It's very easy to get caught up with some of the things that, as I said last week, come as a shock to us. When I finished reading at verse 13 tonight, and I know that that causes a shock. When God says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. There's not a person here that can think straight that doesn't have to say that causes a shock to the system. But it's very easy to read this passage and simply focus on the things that are exceptional, unusual, unexpected, and forget that the central purpose of God that is here being revealed is actually a purpose of mercy. We'll have more to say about that in a little while. It's a purpose of mercy. And it's in that relationship that Paul deals with the sovereignty of God. That's why, of course, he commences Romans 9 with the first five verses of a personal statement. I would like to have time to go through that just line by line, for it's one of the most amazing passages in all the New Testament. This opens up the heart of the Apostle Paul in a way that I don't think you'll find anywhere else in the whole New Testament. Here you get Paul going to the very depths of his soul and bringing out to public view the constant burden and passion of his heart for the Jewish people. A burden that is expressed in terms that to us would seem so very extreme. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. The strength of that assertion has called forth many objections. Some people want to translate it that I used to wish. In other words, this is simply a statement of the way I was before I was converted. To be quite honest, that doesn't make a lot of sense of the rest of the statement. I think our translators have got it absolutely right. Paul is not saying I wish myself accursed from Christ. That couldn't be. He's not saying it's possible for me ever to be accursed from Christ. The surrounding verses make it clear that that couldn't be. But he's saying if it were possible, if it were legitimate, if it would save my people from hell, I would go to hell in their place. That's the passion. And I want you to see that for Paul, the purpose of grace and talking about election and predestination and all those things went hand in hand with a burning, blazing passion for souls. I would to God that everybody who ever wrote on God's eternal predestination wrote out of a heart that was filled with heaviness and sorrow and wrote with eyes that were blinded by tears with a passion for the dying souls of men and women. These two things in Paul's heart always go together. God's purpose of grace and Paul's passion for precious souls.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.